Steve had introduced me. I'm Steve Fox. I'm one of your elders here. And it's just a pleasure to be here and to be on board with what's happening. And also just to be in a place where I've been permitted to deliver the word this morning. And I say it's just to speak just a little bit about myself. Well, the journey's been really, really long because when I grew up in a very, very strict Lutheran environment, a Missouri Synod, for those that grew up in a Lutheran environment. It was a very, very rigid type of religion at the time. And at that point in that place, I knew of the Lord every week because we had to go. I knew of him, but I did not know him. I knew of him, but I did not have a working relationship with him. But unlike things that have happened and transpired as Linda's and our journey throughout, because Linda was raised Catholic and we were raised Lutheran, we were going to Lutheran churches, we were going to Catholic churches, and we were doing different things in order to seek, because we knew that there was something else, that there was something greater, that there was something that we needed to do. And then we ended up at City View, and this is where we've now planted our feet. It's been a long journey, but it's been a good journey, and we're just excited just to be here. Linda is my wife. We've been married 28 years. 28 years. To the same woman. 28 years. It's been good. It's been good. And we just pray that it just gets a lot better. We have two daughters. Katie's 25. A lot of you know Katie. Katie's the short blonde. She comes every now and then. And Jessica, she's 23. And believe it or not, both of them are Baltimore police officers. They are riding around in a patrol car. They enforce the law in the streets of Baltimore City. God bless them. Better them than me. Me, on the other hand, I'm a plainclothes detective by trade. That's my job. Yeah, that's my career that I've done for 30 years. I'm still a cop. I've been doing it for a long, long time. And every day I wear jeans and a t-shirt. I don't wear a uniform. And I specifically go out and I search for missing and abducted children that have been missing for the county that I work in Baltimore County. And I do cold case missing, cold case things. Just like the television show, you've seen the show Cold Case? Well, that's what I do. I do cold cases. When children go missing for a long time or there's been abducted and they go out of the country or they go elsewhere, parental abductions, those kind of things, that's what I do. But I get to wear jeans and a t-shirt and work Monday through Friday. So that's a good thing. But it's been a journey getting to that place too. But today's message, I believe, is very significant and it's very poignant for what's happening right now. And the name of the message is called What's in Your Fridge? Seriously, what's in your fridge? You know, some time ago, I was standing right here, and I was worshiping the Lord, and God spoke to me, and he says, hey, do you remember what Lynn had said the other day? And I guess I remember, yeah. And Lynn had said, I saved this crab meat for you, and it went to waste. I'm like, wow. Then God spoke to me, the same spot, right there where I stand next to Linda. And he said, what's in your refrigerator, Steve? And then he started asking me to take a look around in the fridge and look at each item and look for the expiration. And then he said that the gifts that he has given me is not to be wasted and that they are to be used. And he says, it's just like the expiration date on the items that we find each and every time that we go to the fridge. For instance, there's an expiration date on a gallon of milk. And after the milk has got the expiration, it may be only good for a couple more days after that, correct? And then what happens afterwards? It curdles. It starts going bad. Is it because maybe we didn't use it? Is it possible it went bad because there was some left over? Right now, just look in your fridge. Just open your door and see what's in there. See if there's an expiration date on the items that you purchased. Look and see, just for example, if there's something in there that may last a little bit longer than something else. We want to make sure that our food in the fridge does not spoil. The timing of each item should be calculated. You know, many of us have something in our fridge that has expired that we just can't quite identify. It may look like chicken 4 weeks ago, but what does it look like now? You know, it probably looks like a science project that we grew in a petri dish back in middle school. You know, what started on the front of the shelf is now to the rear of the shelf, and it just sits back there, and it just gets old. And now it's just sticking to the side. You got to, like, peel it off. But it went bad, and it expired. You know, the things that we see in the fridge are in the natural, but in the realm of godly giftings, these things are very significant. It equates back and forth. So when you're looking in your fridge, and you're looking to what God has given us as giftings, we need to take a look at that a little bit more carefully. You know, the examples that God gives us on the calling of his people, using his word in the Bible to maneuver in everyday life and receiving prophetic words and also blessings, equates to what is in our refrigerator. The expiration, the timeliness, things that have gone bad. And in the original word, when I was standing over here, God specifically emphasized, do not let it go to waste. Do not let it go to waste. And as we look at the story of David, David had an anointed on him. There was such an anointing that he was one of the seven that was the brothers had passed before King Saul. And they said, is there anyone left? And he says, well, David, well, he's just a shepherd in the field. He says, well, bring him. He's the one. There was an anointing and a calling on David. There was such an anointing on him. However, when Saul had poured the oil on him, there was a time period that transpired before he was commissioned. See what I'm getting at? Because there's an anointing, because there's a time and a place for everything, you need to step out into that realm when God calls you to. You need to move into those areas. You need to work and cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And there's a commissioning that goes along with that as well. You know, David became activated and commissioned, and it was about 17 years later. But the question is, how did David keep from letting those 17 years become spoil, where it did not become that way, where he operated in those realm and the possibilities of where he was going? He was anointed as a teen, but commissioned as an adult. In between there was not the spoil. Why did that happen? why did he operate in that such a realm? And the answer is because he had a relationship with the Lord. He knew the Lord. He had a working relationship with him. And he was in covenant with Jesus at the time. He was not on the fast track. He did not have any other obstacles that weighed in his life at the time that kept him from operating in that. And the last thing is that David was not anxious to move ahead of the Lord. He wasn't in that realm where he wanted to go ahead of the Lord and move out into those things that was above his capabilities. He was anointed. He knew he was anointed. But he didn't operate until he was commissioned and released into those things. There was a time and a place where the word of the Lord came to Jonah with instruction to go to Nineveh. Remember Jonah and the whale, the story? What did Jonah do instead? Jonah ran. He heard from the Lord because the situation was much bigger than what Jonah had believed he could do at the time. Even Jonah's circumstances, when he called out to the Lord saved him. But Jonah first ran. He decided just to leave and just run as far away as he could. But God caught up with him. Is it possible that the Lord is calling you, that there's something on your lives right now that you may be running from? You may want to just take a look at that and just ponder that as we continue. You know, when God had sent Jonah to deliver the word, it was to the great city. So it was like to a massive amount of people. It was called the great city. And the Lord said, which was wicked. So now you have two variables. You're going to a large area that was wicked. One man who was going to deliver a word and pastor to those people. After Jonah decided to submit, he did. After calling out, after being in the belly of the whale, he was spewed out. And then he did go to Nineveh and he did preach. So with that in mind, God gives us the ability to redeem ourselves. Even though you may have done something, or you have failed, or you have not reached the calling, or you have not been activated or in that, do not stop trying. Do not give in. Do not give in to the temptation of what Satan would try to place in your mind. We don't want that to happen. Press in. Persevere, move into those areas of all possibilities. I want you to start thinking if there's a call on your life right now, and if there's any missed opportunities that you may have had, such as, maybe I should have spoken to that person, or maybe I just kind of walked away when I should have maybe just given them something that would just comfort, exhort, and edify them. Because that's what we would like to do. As Christians, we are becoming Christ-like, and then we are called to become Christ-like. That's why we're called Christians. You know, when God calls us, it's usually unexpected. For example, if we look on the calling on the lives of Peter and Andrew, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 4:19. Matthew 4:19. Steve normally has it the page marked in the big book that's under your chairs. I don't have those. I have the minimal version. So my Matthew 4:19 is probably found in page 50. And it states that Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, and the Lord saw them, and the Lord called to them. So the Lord is speaking to Peter and Andrew. And they were fishing at the time. And he said to them, come and follow me. And what did they do? Immediately, exactly, they immediately got up. And they left their nets to follow Jesus. If there is a calling on your life, and if you heard from the Lord, if there was something going on, would you move in that realm of possibilities? Would you move into those things? If the Lord was calling you right now, would you move and just say, yes, Lord, use me now. Here I am. Use me. I'm willing to lay my nets down and to move into those areas. Would you do it? And here's the question that I was pondering myself. What would have occurred if they had not responded to him or answered the call? What would happen if Peter and Andrew did nothing? What if they engaged in conversation with Jesus, procrastinated, stating that they would fish first and then follow later? And then lastly, I was just pondering this, what if they just said no? I would rather fish than to lay down my livelihood. I just look at those things. What would happen if they just said no? I just can't imagine. Here's the questions that I also ponder, and I'm asking you. Is there a call, an encounter with God, the written word of God, a prophetic word, which places you in a position like Jonah, maybe to run? Have you turned and have you run and gotten nowhere? Can you be redeemed in case you did run the other way? Look at Peter. Peter denied Christ three times, and three times he asked him, do you love me? Feed my sheep. That was the point when Peter was being restored. There was restoration. He was being called. You know, when Jesus calls us, he already has a plan in motion. He's already set these things already into motion. So once again, the Lord always gives us a chance to redeem ourselves, to be reinstated. That's a good word, to be reinstated. Where we've missed the mark, where we've missed the opportunity, we have those abilities to move into those realms of all possibilities now. If you've missed the mark, just ask to be reinstated. Take it to the Lord. You can do that. The times of opportunity are always made anew. When asked to follow, would you do it? Would you follow? If Jesus was to come to you right now, we sing the song a couple times throughout this year so far, I surrender all. Lord, I lay down my life. I surrender. Use me, Lord. Are you willing to surrender? Are you willing to lay it down? Are you willing to come into a place of agreement with the Lord, to come into that covenant with him? Are you willing to go there? Is there calling on your life right now? Are you in a place right now where you've maybe run? Is there a place where you've maybe even moved ahead of the Lord too fast? Are there times when the things that are in your life have spoiled? What about the things that are in your refrigerator right now? That's all the way. Look in the back of your refrigerator again. Open the door. Look in the fridge. See if there's something in there that has never been opened. Is there something in there? Is there a jar of olives? Maraschino cherries? Is there something where it's never been opened? Is there something in there that needs to be opened now? Is there something in the refrigerator that you don't need, that needs to be discarded because it's just taking up space? It's weighing you down. In spite of your circumstances, in spite of what's going on right now, for this day and for this time, are you willing to submit to the Holy Spirit? Are you willing to go there? Are you willing to say, yeah, I'll follow? Are you willing to look in your refrigerator right now and just say, I don't need this. I need to open this. I need to discard this. This is rotted. It's spoiled because I didn't use it. And then there's the redemption of coming into that play. Look at those areas. Look into your refrigerator right now and see if there's something that you need to do. We're just going to ponder this just a few minutes. And as Benjamin plays, start searching your refrigerator. Start searching your heart. And see if there's something that has spoiled, something that you've missed, an area of your life where you need to open it. Search deep in your spirit and see if there are times when you've missed it, and ask for the redemption and ask for just to be reinstated. God is a good God. In Hebrews, He will never forsake you. He will never leave you. He will give you opportunities. But I'm believing today is a day where you look into your refrigerator and you start making a decision. You start making a choice. I need to take this out. I need to clean this out. I need to move this out of my way. I need to open this and allow the Spirit to work in me. I need to discard the things that are not beneficial, that are not profitable to me. Repent for the things that have wasted, for the things that have spoiled in your life. That the times where it's been very overwhelming for you. Search your hearts now. Look in your fridge and see if those things are there. If you need someone to pray with you, if you need someone to help you, just to pray with you over some situations, asking just to be activated into those areas, asking for forgiveness. The altar is open. There are people here that will pray with you. There are people here that will just comfort you. There are people here that will just, they're here. So if there's areas in your fridge, if there's areas in your fridge, just come. You know, as we leave here, we're going to be leaving. And every time you go to your refrigerator this week, I challenge you, look in your fridge, remove those items, take out those things that you don't need, move into those areas, move into your calling, move into the areas of all possibilities right now. Lord, we just thank you. We just thank you, Father, that you challenge us day after day and that your mercies are endless. Father, we just thank you for your people here today. We thank you, Father, that you are a good God. And that, Father, that the word about our refrigerator is merciful and that we can be reinstated in all things. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your people.